I'd like to welcome you again to Coventry as a former refugee and also a member of the Cathedral Council as well. So it was about 17 years ago. I was in the back of a lorry with 50 other children, women and men en route to the UK, and we arrived in Dover in a December. Well, it was in, this is my anniversary next month, so in a cold, foggy day, and it was the police who welcomed us from the lorry, and the police dog barked at each one of us separately, so that was the welcome that I received. And a couple of days in Dover, and then the Home Office officials arrived, and we were split into groups, so I didn't know anything about Britain or its cities, and the Home Office officer had this smile on her face, and she looked at us and she said, "You lots will be sent to Coventry." It took me 2 years to work out what that meant. I think a lot less than how long it took me to work out how to get on and off Coventry Ring Road. So I'm pleased to be here in Coventry. I think there's so many positive things about this city, and it's a real pleasure to work with you and to share our stories and our challenges as well, because the world is not easy out there, although there is compassion and there is this revolution of generosity. There are still challenges facing refugees and facing those who want to do something and who want to make a difference. Because a few years ago, you would have had politicians telling you that they're worried about public opinion about migration. Today, the public want to do something, so it's kind of like they're losing that ground. But still, there is very little done, although we've got the 20,000 Syrian refugees, which is a very good approach and it's welcoming. But a lot more could be done to avoid those dreadful situations. 3,770 people alone in the last year lost their lives in the Mediterranean. All of them were people like me and you, people who had lives and people who had hopes and aspirations. All they wanted to do was to run away from a dreadful situation to safety. But what we did was we shut our doors, we built higher walls. Instead of looking at solutions, we focused more on the externalization of our borders. I think we have progressed well, but if you look at the number of people who lost their lives again, each one of them is not a number, it's a person. What happened in September last year, the dreadful images of Aylan Kurdi are repeated again and again. But we have much more restrictive policies. So what we have observed in our work, so what I do in my day and night job as well, is that I run Coventry Refugee and Migrant Centre, a charity that welcomed me to Coventry 16 years ago. It was set up by three kind-hearted people, again, with the support from, in that time, from an organisation which was called Churches Working Together with Refugees, initially. And they supported that initiative. The three people were initially operating from a laundrette in an area called Hellfields in Coventry. And today we've got about 40 staff members and about 80 volunteers who you might meet later on. I won't tell you all about the services because you'll observe them. We've got from therapy to employment support, English language lessons. We've got our own supported housing units to help people once they're granted leave to remain, to have some kind of like a time before they get their social housing or private housing, because it's within that time that people could become destitute, because 28 days is not enough to find your own housing and set up your life. So I think I'll focus more on, I'll save that time to focus more on some of the challenges and what could be done, because you'll have a chance to meet some of those staff members and ask them questions as well. They'll be joining you later on. So one thing we have observed in our work is that Coventry has welcomed about 300 Syrian refugees, which is a great number compared to other parts of the UK. When in the UK, I'm talking about this number very proudly, but when I was in Istanbul, I kind of like said it very quietly, because that city is kind of like they've welcomed much more. So here I'll say, yeah, Coventry has proudly welcomed 300 Syrian refugees to date. And most of that response is the city's leadership, but also the grassroots and the communities and the cathedral's history as well. Because we don't need to go too far away. We've got a cathedral without a roof. And today there are houses and places and mosques around the world without roofs and foundations. So we don't need to tell this story to the public. They see it day in, day out, and also to the leadership as well. So it's all great. Syrian refugees get the support and they come through the programme and they need it and it's important. But because we are a charity open to all refugees and migrants, we have seen this issue of deserving and undeserving refugees. So a Syrian child arrives with a family, they get all the support, they get into school and others. An unaccompanied minor arrives and then the police come and pick them up until the social services then kind of like get involved. So that is one issue that we've seen. And for us, personally, as a former refugee, I think all refugees need protection, all refugees need welcome. And I think they need to be treated equally. It's not for us to pick up on people when they knock on our door for our help and for our compassion, and we say, hang on here, we're not too sure, or we're not even sure about your age, whether you are within that category, or certain countries now safe and so on. So it's the question of where on earth a lady from Eritrea with a child would go. And I think if we reflect on this question for 2 seconds, her choices, not just in Britain but across Europe, are very, very limited, because that need to prove your need for protection is becoming much more difficult, and the lamppost is kind of like moving further. So that is one. And the other thing is also that even in for the Syrian refugees, but all refugees in general, is that somehow we are kind of like getting into this habit of moving people from war into poverty rather than prosperity. Mm-hmm. So people come over, and however many thousand the UK has resettled, even if we look at the Syrian refugees, how many of them are working? How many of them have got jobs? How many of them are on track to employment? Because these are people who had jobs. These were people like me and you who had their lives, and they had opportunities, and they've got something really good to offer to this country and this society. So it's not just giving somebody a roof above their head and protection, because I've gone through it. For me, food and shelter wasn't the only thing. I think it was what I could do to pay back, but what I could do to be independent and help myself and be an important person within the society. So I think is that question of how we can kind of like move, ensure that our kind of like support, mainly the support of the grassroots, the churches, is around getting people closer to work. And volunteering, because if anyone asks me what really stood out to you, or which British value you picked up, is volunteering. Because I came from a society where volunteering was a one-off thing that you just do once in your life, and you just help someone. But then giving your time and learning was something new to me here, and that really helped me to get into work and also be an active member of the society. I think there's 5 things that I'd like to offer that could be done. Is one is, again, going back to this this understanding that refugees can be a great asset to the society and to the locality. I came to this city, the community invested in me, but I'm not unique. Every refugee has got something really special to offer. If we invest in their integration, if we invest in their welcome, and we give them the chance. I think refugees need to be given the chance to do well for themselves, but also for the society. And I think that welcome is very, very important, and that hospitality, because when I first came, again, it wasn't just the immediate needs, but it was what was really bothering me was the fact that I didn't know when I will see my family again, whether I'll see them again or not. So it's kind of like that local welcome and the support is very important. That human companionship is something that you always miss. And I think that is very important. And we do that through CRMC, but we also do it through our work with the City of Sanctuary, which I'm chair of, the National City of Sanctuary, which is set up to create that culture of hospitality and welcome at local levels, but also at the civic level and the leadership as well. And I think the challenge again is the everyday integration as well. So the everyday integration doesn't happen in offices filling in forms and others. It happens in your post offices, it happens on the buses and others. How do we create a society that is more tolerant, more welcoming and accepting of refugees and their needs? And I think the point that Zarinka touched on, again, is the stories. And there's quite a lot of statistics, quite a lot of numbers, and it's very, very difficult to absorb all of those around migration and their academics as well. And if you look at the political debate within this whole debate, no one has done a favour to migration. Either side have used it in this emotion of war, war of emotion. But what we can do is, to address this, is to give refugees a voice, because stories can connect us better. And I think if refugees can tell their own story of fleeing the conflict, the dreadful journeys, and also the integration, then we can make a difference, because that is very, very important, to give refugees a voice. We can all do our best to convince people, but refugees can do a better job. And I think it's very, very important to get into those stories and connect with one another through those positive stories of integration. Thank you.
Thank you very much.